This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast. I'm Anand Krishnan, your host for today. On February 19th, Friday, China for the first time said it had lost four soldiers in the June 15th, 2020 clash in the Galwan Valley with India, finally breaking its silence over the number of casualties suffered by the Chinese military. The announcement on Friday has triggered an outpouring of national sentiment in China, with thousands of internet users paying tribute to the soldiers as well as expressing their anger at India. In this episode, we are assessing China's media coverage of the border crisis in the wake of this announcement, as well as this very carefully crafted narrative by the state-controlled media in China, as well as the timing of the announcement, which came 9 days after India and China announced a process to disengage along the line of actual control. We also look at the broader aim of this media narrative in China, which appears aimed at underlining the message. The Communist Party of China under Xi Jinping had defended China's territory and also to portray India as an aggressor. Has this narrative been successful within China? Helping us make sense of this question, we are joined today by Antara Ghoshal Singh, a researcher at the Center for Social and Economic Progress, a think tank in New Delhi, who carefully studies Chinese language sources and is the best person we could have to discuss this issue today. Thank you so much, Antara, for joining us.
Thank you, Anand.
If I can first begin by getting your take on this announcement on Friday, which has really got a lot of attention over the past weekend in China. The announcement of honors for five soldiers, four who are being awarded posthumously. Is it fair to say, Antara, that a lot more people now are aware of what happened in the border crisis 8 months ago than was the case earlier?
Yes, Anand. There has been a lot of publicity over the death of soldiers, the Galwan clash and all that. But I don't think it is just to create public awareness because... The Galwan incident and China-India relationship has been a major talking point in China since the last 1 year. Right. And I have never seen, I'm sure you you have been reporting on China for very long, but I think you would agree that there was never so much of reporting, so much of discussion, debate on India in probably in a very long time.
That's true, yeah.
I am not sure if this is just to create public awareness.
And what did you make of the timing of the announcement? It came 1 day after the week-long holiday in China had ended, so it got a lot of attention. There's also the fact that it's happened about 9 days after disengagement began, which has now been completed in the north and south bank of Pangong Lake. So perhaps one suspicion is that the Chinese government did not want a situation where all this kind of sentiment would be unleashed in the middle of the crisis. So is this a kind of signaling that they think that perhaps at least some part of this crisis is, or the worst of it is over?
As I mentioned in my piece in India Today, like this sudden release of casualty numbers, it needs to be seen in the light of the debate that has been going on in China over the disengagement and withdrawal agreement, you know. So there has been a lot of discontent and resentment among people over perceptions like China is giving away too much, China is taking a weak posture. Yeah. And, in a way you can say that, it is a distractionary technique. But at the same time, you know, it is also an effort to show China from a position of strength. Like China is in control of the situation in Ladakh, and it is actually, you know, contrary to the perceptions, the various perceptions that are there, it is actually leading the negotiation process towards its own interest. So that was quite visible from, if you kind of, you know, equate the the debates that were taking place and the sudden release of numbers and casualty figures, you can find a link between them. Probably you can establish a link probably from that angle.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And I think for our listeners, it's actually quite unprecedented. Even though in India, we've been wondering, 8 months is a long time for China to announce casualties. India did so promptly, having lost 20 soldiers in Galwan Valley. Actually, China in the past has taken years, if not decades, to announce casualties because it's seen as such a politically sensitive matter. And I think Antara does make a good point that the discussion very much seems to be on this rather than the terms of withdrawal. But having said that, Antara, you did write recently on the debate regarding the withdrawal at Pangong Lake. If we can start with the North Bank, if you can just help our listeners understand what has been the flavor of the debate. Do they feel that it's a fair agreement that creating this buffer zone where neither side is going to be present, or do they feel that China is giving away too much in Pangong Lake? Has there been a lot of attention on the specifics of the agreement, Antara?
Yes, Anand, there has been a very intense debate on the terms of withdrawal. And, I could see a lot of resentment, as I told you, over loss of area of actual control. Like the area of actual control, which they mean the area between finger 4 to finger 8, they argue that has been reduced to a gray zone. Right. So that is one aspect that, they were highlighting quite a lot. And then there were resentment about, the retreat being, it was not equidistant for both the parties. There were concerns about China making concession or giving away too much to India. And from the broad sentiment point of view, it was somehow perceived as China backing down, China unwilling to fight, and it is withdrawing before teaching India a lesson. Among the major concerns that I could see was that this compromise is going to have disastrous consequences for China. It's like it's in a way of loss of initiative, erosion of their power and psychological advantage, erosion of their power. And also, reshaping of this line of actual control and India emerging as a strong competitor. So these were a couple of points that, figured quite a lot in the debates.
It's interesting where it does seem to reflect some of the concerns we've seen on the Indian side as well from experts in India, saying that India is losing access to its patrolling points and India is giving up territory. So it's quite interesting that it's a very close mirror imaging of some of the debates we've seen in India. And more broadly on the relationship, Antara, you've been tracking what Chinese experts have been saying over the last few months. What's your sense generally? Do they see this last year as a big turning point in the relationship, or do they see this more as similar to past border conflicts, or do they see this, for example, as a way many people in India, former officials in India, have said this is a big turning point and a rupture in the relationship? Is that a similar view among Chinese experts that you've read as well, Antara?
Yes, Anand, you spoke about rupture in relationship and not going back in relationship, which we that sense that we can see in India. I think China is also seeing an inflection point in terms of its relationship with India. It is generally believed, in the writings of, I have seen it many times in the writings of the Chinese strategists, that they believe that higher India's international status becomes, the stronger its self-confidence or its self-esteem, it is going to be difficult for China to maintain stability in the bilateral ties through cooperative strategy of the past, or by just, releasing deterrent signals. So what they argue is China needs to assert its strength advantage over India, and it needs to force India to cooperate. And in this regard, today itself, I read an article by Wang Shrita, Deputy Director of CICIR. You must be familiar with him.
Yes, for our listeners, the CICIR, the China Institutes of Contemporary International Relations, is one of the most influential think tanks in Beijing and something that's tied to the Ministry of State Security as well. So it is an influential think tank.
Yes, so I will quote him here. He writes this article and where he ends by saying that China will have the greatest goodwill for India, but it will keep the sword shining and will seek to and will try to seek harmony through struggle and not through concession. So you can understand from his comment what could be a possible Chinese strategy, how they are looking at it from here on.
So it seems to be a suggestion that they want cooperative relations, but on their own terms. And Antara, in terms of the reasons for this whole crisis since the summer of 2020, there's been a lot of writings in China that look at the U.S. factor that have been suggesting a U.S. angle to all of this. Others have suggested it's more about, as you referred to, these gray zones on the LAC and China wanting to establish dominance. In your view, is there agreement among Chinese experts as to what prompted this crisis and which in India, as you was triggered by the PLA's unprecedented mobilization along the LAC last year? Is there any consensus among them as to why all of this happened, Antara?
Yes, Anand. Before I answer this question, I'd just like to give a little background about India's position in China's strategic thinking. So India is one country that figures concurrently in all the three focus areas of China's strategic outlay. One is the major power diplomacy, one is the neighborhood diplomacy, and the third one is the developing country diplomacy. So China's relationship with India is not only analyzed through the lens of China-India relations or, say, what is happening in South Asia, like South Asia geopolitics, but it is mostly seen through the backdrop of China's rise or China's competition with the United States, the Indo-Pacific, and all those factors, So, from that perspective, what becomes clear, I have been studying this aspect, since the incident happened. One strategy which is quite apparent to me is what they want to do is through controlled conflict at the border, they want to kind of check and balance what is perceived as a rising confident India, which is enjoying its strategic opportunity period. But at the same time, it wants to carefully avert escalation of situation or have a full-scale conflict so that the United States, which China considers as its primary, competitor, United States should not, get to reap any benefit from this China-India problem, So it's a delicate balance that they want to strike. So, that's quite clear from the writings of the Chinese strategists in the last 1 year.
That's fascinating. And a final question, Antara. It's been quite unprecedented over the past weekend. It's quite rare to see India being one of the most hotly debated topics on Chinese social media. That was the case all through last weekend on Weibo, where most of the trending topics all involved the clash in Galwan Valley, the soldiers, the five Chinese soldiers who were honored, and the four of them especially who had lost their lives. There were thousands of messages paying tribute, but there were also thousands of angry messages, some would say even abusive messages, that were sent out to the Indian embassy's account on Weibo. Antara, do you think that this outpouring of sentiment, anti-India sentiment, if we are going to be clear about it, is that going to have a lingering impact on the relationship in your view?
Anand, I think this might have some impact on the negotiation process. It might make it more difficult. It might make it more protracted. But I'm not sure whether it will have a big impact on the course of India-China relationship, you know. Why I see this, because as you know, in the Chinese setup, public sentiment is kind of it is very easy to be manipulated or orchestrated as per the national interest, you know. And if the Chinese leadership thinks that having India as an occasional partner is better than having India as a clear enemy, I think no amount of public sentiment is going to stop President Xi Jinping to visit India for BRICS, for BRICS summit. So I think, you know, it might have impact, but limited impact.
Right. And of course, China is a unique place where the government does control the media, controls the discussion, and it can really steer the conversation, which is difficult for us in India to understand, where even the narrative that the government has put out in some ways is very effective within China, even if that isn't the case outside China. Antara Goswal Singh, thank you so much for joining us today on the Hindu in Focus podcast.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.